Let us turn again to Matthew chapter 25 and let us read again verse 10. Matthew 25 and at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready with them, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And even more particularly, we will seek to focus on the words that the door was shut, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Now, in the previous chapter, and we might do well to remember that the parable of the 10 virgins in the first part of chapter 25, it follows on immediately from the teaching that there is in the end of chapter 24. But I was going to draw your attention to the words in verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And the thought in that verse is repeated following the parable of the 10 virgins. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's a call to watch. And the reason given is that first, the Son of Man is coming, that Christ is going to come the second time. And second, we do not know when that will take place. Now, the same principle, I believe, holds true in connection with everyone passing away from this world. Yes, there will be a last generation in the world who will see Christ coming. That generation will not die, but they will be taken straight into eternity. Body and soul remaining united forever. But that's not how it is for every other generation. And we would believe for this generation in particular, that there are so many promises in the Word of God of better days that have not yet been fulfilled. So we can be sure that we will have to die. We can be sure from the Word of God that there is an opportunity for us to obtain mercy. The door of grace, the door into the kingdom of God is still open. We have an opportunity of finding mercy. We have an opportunity, and opportunities are to be grasped. If we are wise, and there were wise virgins here, as we shall consider, as well as foolish virgins. You see, the wise virgins took that opportunity of getting oil. And we might apply that in the way of seeking for and obtaining grace in their souls while they had the opportunity. The foolish virgins didn't take up their opportunity. They were too late. When they had gone to buy and returned, the door was shut. They had missed that opportunity. And you see, the application of all this, there are no doubt many applications, but the particular application that I'm drawing your attention to is this, that there is an opportunity to find mercy. The door is open. There will be a time when the door of opportunity will be shut. The door of opportunity will be shut when it will be too late to find mercy, to find grace. The door will be shut. And you see, we do not know when the door will be shut. That's the thing. But it's one thing. It's one important thing. We do not know when the door will be shut. We do not know when the time of opportunity will end. Sometimes death is expected, perhaps for a long period of time. Sometimes there is that warning given that the door will be shut, that the opportunity is not going to last for much longer. At other times, there is no warning. Death can come suddenly. Some of us may be painfully aware of such an event recently. One whom we knew, taken away very suddenly. But, you see, and no doubt we have known that to happen, times without number. The poor man who was stabbed at the end of last week is a case in point. Suddenly, swept into eternity. You see, we are to draw lessons from such things. We are to seek to apply these things to ourselves. We are still in the place of opportunity where we may seek eternal life, where we may seek grace. The door is open yet for us. We are to enter in. We are to make use of our opportunity. The door will shut. We don't know when. You know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's a slight difference in the wording. There's no real difference in the meaning. And the two points I wish to emphasize today, I have already emphasized them in what I have said, but to repeat, the first point has to do with the time before the door was shut. It was a time of opportunity. The second point has to do with the time when the door was shut. The time of opportunity was over. First, a time of opportunity before the door was shut. Second, a time after the door was shut, when the time of opportunity was over. First then, before the door was shut, while the time of opportunity lasted. And it was a time to obtain mercy. It was a time to get grace. If we take the oil that the wise virgins had, the oil which the foolish virgins did not have. But you see, before the door was shut, it was a time when they had the opportunity to get oil. A time, in other words, when they had the opportunity to obtain grace. A time when they had the opportunity to be born again. The opportunity to seek the working of the Lord in their hearts, the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. You see, the five wise virgins, they made use of that opportunity. The foolish virgins, they tried to get oil. But the time of opportunity was over. Now surely, we should be applying these things to our own souls. We're still in that state where we have an opportunity. Even if we have many, if we have religion, to speak in a general way. You see, the foolish virgins, they had something. They had lamps. The lamps were lit. And no doubt that represents those who, though they do not have grace, still, they are living at least a moral life, a religious life. But there was this awareness that their lamps were going out, but only when the door was about to be shut. Now, it's not that we are to press every detail of the parable, this parable or any other parable, too far. The thief on the cross came to Christ at the last minute when he saw that there was an open door, and you find well that that open door was soon to be shut by his death. He sought for mercy and he obtained mercy. So we're not to press this matter of going to buy as if a time had come, at least we kind of generalize that, a time had come, would come in the experience of sinners, and they were prohibited because they were too far on in life, because they were too near to death, when they were prohibited from seeking mercy. But you see, the further on we go, the longer we harden our hearts, the nearer we are to that opportunity closing. The nearer we are to the door of mercy being shut. You see, in something as vital as this, surely it is total foolishness to leave things until the last minute. You see, if there's, to take a fairly trivial example, if there's some special offer that will close when the stocks are exhausted, and we really want to take advantage of that offer, we're not going to leave it till the last minute to go and try to purchase it. There may be none left a considerable time before the offer is said to close. The stocks might be exhausted. So, and I'm not carrying over, you see, it's just like I said about a parable. We're not to press every detail. So in an illustration, I'm not wanting you to press every detail of it. There's this one lesson from that illustration which I want to carry over is, and that is, to go at once. If we're serious about the offer, in my illustration, we will want to go as soon as possible to get it. Well, how much more if we're serious about our souls and the salvation of our souls? Surely we will want to go as soon as possible to plead for mercy, to seek the Lord, to seek him while he is to be found. But you see, sinners are not doing that. There may become a time when, by God's grace, they are made willing to seek and made willing to receive the blessings of salvation. But left to themselves, they go on in their carelessness. And the verse from Proverbs applies this one. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You've been having counsel addressed to you from the pulpit for many a day, I'm sure. The counsel to seek the Lord, the counsel to make use of your opportunities while they last, before the door of mercy is shut, before death comes and sweeps us into eternity. There's a time of opportunity. And if we are wise, we will make use of that opportunity. And if we are doing that, it can be expressed in this way, that we will listen to counsel. Of course, when we get counsel, we need to be sure that it's good counsel. And we can be sure that the counsel we receive from the Word of God and the preaching that is based on the Word of God, that is good counsel. The counsel to seek the Lord while he may be found, for instance, while the door of mercy is still open, before it is shut. If we pay attention to that, if we listen to it, if we take it in, if we act in obedience to it, surely that's to be wise. And then there's the contrast. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He says he's got plenty of time. Though he does not know when death will come. He knows neither the day nor the hour when death will confront him. But he thinks his own way of trying to enjoy the world and the things of the world, that this is going to last indefinitely, that it's not going to come to a sudden end. It's not going to come to an unexpected end. It's not going to come from an unpredictable end to an unpredictable end. But that's the way of the foolish. That's madness when these matters are so serious. Surely we don't need some great degree of education to grasp that fact. People without any education at all have grasped that fact. The door was shut, but there was a time of opportunity before then. A time for seeking the Lord. A time to find the Lord. This matter of carelessness, this matter of living as if life was going to go on indefinitely, as if the Lord was bound to leave the door of opportunity open for as long as we need it. It's nothing new. It was there in Ezekiel's days, and the Lord spoke to Ezekiel about the people of his time in Babylon, where he was a captive with other Jews. The Lord said of them, "They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." They were going on in sin, in spite of the fact that they had only a limited, uncertain time to find mercy. They still kept coming because, well, perhaps their consciences were bringing them, but they came because Ezekiel, it must have been a very attractive speaker, and he said things which were interesting to listen to. "Lo," Ezekiel was told, "thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." Yes, you have heard the words of God. You have heard many preachers. You have heard those of whom perhaps you said, "That man, he can preach well." And you've kept coming. But have you had your eye on the door? Have you had your mind focusing on this, that the door was going to be shut? You did not know when. You still do not know when. But you have an opportunity to obtain mercy. You have an opportunity to seek the Lord. You are assured still, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." That salvation through Christ is still being set before you. You have an opportunity to obtain mercy. You have an opportunity today to hear about Christ, a little about him anyway, as the one who came into the world to save sinners. The door is open. He is saying to you to come to him, to come in through that open door to him. And let us remember that there is an open door, because Christ had to say this when he was on the cross in particular, that was brought me to the dust of death. There was Christ, the substitute for sinners. He was there, dying the death that would otherwise be theirs, that is, receiving the full punishment for the sins of many. He was receiving the death that was due by way of punishment because of sin, for a multitude that no man can number. That was it. And the door is open, and we are to come. Christ is calling us. There's that opportunity to find forgiveness, that opportunity to obtain mercy. The opportunity hasn't come to an end. We do not know whether we will have any further opportunities. We cannot be sure that we will see the end of this service on mercy's ground, that the end of this service will see the door still open. Yes, and we're to assume that it will be otherwise, in a sense. Yes. We're to assume, as far as seeking the Lord is concerned, we are to assume, as far as laying hold of Christ is concerned, as far as believing in Christ is concerned, we are to assume, we are to treat the present opportunity as if we would never have another. So there's the matter of the general warning that I'm giving. But there's this matter of laying hold of Christ. We might learn the lesson, in a sense, of the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death and the uncertainty of when it will come. We might learn that lesson, in our minds at least. None of the foolish virgins, I'm sure, it would have argued with you if you tried to make that point to them and try to emphasize it to them. But the matter was this, the oil, the humming oil, so that the lamp would go on burning and burn brighter and burn better. It's a great matter of finding Christ as a savior for sinners before the door is shut. Yes, and the door is wide open, whether we can see it or not. The door is wide open. We're in a time of opportunity, just that we do not know how soon that time will come to an end. We do not know how soon our opportunities will be over. But we have this opportunity. Are you seeking to take advantage of it? Is there something in your soul that makes you cry out to the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? Is there something in your soul that cries out to the Lord in these terms, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? I could quote many another petition or statement that you can turn into a prayer. And don't be afraid of doing that. If you're saying, I don't know how to pray, well, go to the Word of God. Have a Bible open beside you. Read until you come to some statement that describes the answer to your need, and turn that into a petition. Yes. Turn, even if you can't find a petition easily, though I've quoted two very obvious ones. Go and read the Bible. And turn something into a petition. And even if you do nothing, but repeat that to the Lord over and over again. You see, we're warned about vain repetitions, but there are other. But if it's not a vain repetition, then that's commendable. If you're limited in your understanding of things, but take something that it makes sense to you, that this is something appropriate to use before God, or seek sincerity, of course, so that it wouldn't be a vain repetition that you would have. And supposing you happen to read Psalm 143 and you come across this. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And you say to yourself, but I have no real thirst for the things of God. I have no real thirst for grace. Where does that leave me? Well, turn it into a petition and say this perhaps. Lord, give me grace to stretch forth my hands unto thee in prayer. Give me grace so that my soul would thirst after thee, even as a thirsty land, crying out for rain. Yes. And, you see, even beginning along that line of thinking, it may lead you on to other things that you should be asking. Oh, cry out to the Lord for grace. Grace to pray. Grace to seek the Lord. Grace to receive him. Grace to see Christ Jesus by faith. You see, there's so much you can say. And the people of God, when they fear that they have not found the Savior, let them pray. Let their souls thirst. thirst for grace, thirst for a meeting with the Lord. You see, they have an opportunity. Sometimes they have a particular opportunity. Let them cry out as thirsty souls for the Lord and for his grace. But what's the way that the foolish are going on? You see, they were slumbering, dozing, it might be saying, but slumbering and sleeping. They were half expecting that the bridegroom would come. They didn't know when. So they should have been awake, and so should the wise virgins have been awake. The people of God should be far more awake than they are. But you see, the main point just now is this. The foolish, when they had particular need of being awake, to be asked to go on by. They might have got back in time if they had gone sooner. Perhaps they would have. But you see how we should be earnest to ask for these things. Yes. Instead of this, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You see, little. See the word, little. They're not going to sleep on indefinitely. They're not going to be careless about their souls indefinitely. They're not going to put off seeking for grace indefinitely. It's just going to be a little more sleep, a little more enjoyment of the things of the world, as you can apply the idea in that way. Just a little. The door will not shut in that kind of time. We can't be sure. We cannot be sure. Yes. You see, there are blessings to be had. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a difference between eternal life and eternal death. And so we should take heed to that call that I have quoted a little of. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The door is still open as far as we are concerned. The call of mercy is still coming to us. The command of mercy is still coming to us. The command to seek. The command to call. They are commands. And the Lord knows the urgency of the matter. Have we taken it in? Have we? Are we earnest about our souls? The door will shut. We don't know when. Surely, we should take advantage of our opportunities. Then in the second place, the door was shut, which meant that the opportunity was over. The door was shut. The door of eternal, the door through which they could enter so that they might have eternal life. They would not now hear the words of the Savior on the day of judgment to those who entered in. They would not hear him saying to them at least, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But what they would have to hear is, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, the door shuts, and then there's no further opportunity. Never Never in eternity will there be an opportunity of entering in. Never will there be an opportunity of escaping from a lost eternity. Never will there be an opportunity of entering into heaven. You see, the door is shut, and we do not know when. There's the comparison at verse 43 of the previous chapter. Know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He would have stayed up all night if necessary. He would have put himself in danger to keep the thief out. But the point about this, what the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians about Christ's coming, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so death may come as a thief in the night. No thief came the previous night. No thief came in the previous week. No thief came, it may be, in the person's lifetime. And it's only highlighting the uncertainty of Christ's coming. Christ's coming in particular, in connection with death, as we're applying that idea just now, as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Otherwise, the person would watch, and otherwise, the sinner, it would have sought the Lord, would have made some feeble attempts at least. But it's earnestness that's called for. Yes. You see, what was true in connection with the rich farmer, or the rich fool, as he is more often called, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. He's got great plans for the future, and sensible enough if it wasn't for the thief in the night. Perfectly sensible to build greater barns. He wanted to store his crop where it would not suffer damage. But what about his soul? He's got no concern about his soul. He's not doing anything to make sure that his soul will be safe. That's it. No attempt to seek the Lord. And yet he's got all these great big plans to build bigger barns. He's not got things in the right order of importance. Have you? Have I? Are we seeking the Lord? Do we think about eternity? Do we think of the great eternity? Do we think of a place in the kingdom of God? Do we think about that door into the kingdom? Do we think about the necessity of entering in by that door? Do we think of the necessity of finding Christ? The necessity of obtaining grace? And the limited time that is left for us? Yes. We're getting old. Some are getting very much older. Have we got grace? Are we thinking about the door and the shutting of the door? Are we? How significant. Have we taken up this is significant? Yes. Let us think, as you have it at the end of chapter 25 here. Let us think of the Son of Man coming in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. There's been a separation, a similar separation at death. And it's basically this separation between those who have made use of their opportunities and those who did not. Those who have sought the Lord and found him, and those who did not. Those who went in through the open door, and those who did not. Have we entered in through that door? The door that is still open. The door that will ultimately lead to heaven. The door that brings us where Christ is. And you can take up his own idea. I am the door. How will we get to heaven? Through Christ, as the one who died for sinners and rose again. And it must be, that door must be entered in this world, because the door will shut. As far as the parable was concerned, the door was shut. And it was too late for the foolish virgins to enter in. Yes. Too late. And we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, he passing into a lost eternity, as Lazarus was received into Abraham's bosom, which is a picture of heaven. And note the words. The words that we hear from the mouth of Abraham when the rich man, now lost, is asking for small favors. When he was in this world, he might have asked for large favors. The large favor of grace, the large favor of salvation, the large favor of a new heart, the large favor of forgiveness of sins, but he didn't. At least he didn't ask them sincerely. And now, when he comes for comparatively little things, he is told by Abram in heaven, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Between us and you, there is a great gulf. It's fixed so that no one can go from either side to the other. The people of God are safe in heaven. Those who neglected their opportunities, they are finally in a lost eternity, never to come out of it. Unless we include going to judgment to be a coming out of hell. But that comparatively is just for a moment. But think of the door. The door of opportunity. The door of the opportunity of finding Christ and salvation through him. And think of that door, and it will be shut. Think of that door then. The door that will be shut is still open. As far as we are concerned, the door is still open. The door it's open because our time of opportunity has not come to an end. As it was with the foolish virgins, they go to the wise virgins. They're thoroughly awake now. They say, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or are going out. That's the translation put in the margin. Our lamps are going out. Everything's fading away. Give us from your oil. Our lamps are going out. Ah, but the wise virgins, they are wise after all. They've got a basic wisdom. They say, We cannot. They're afraid that they don't have any spare grace. They've got no spare grace to give to anyone else. They must go and get it for themselves. It's not but that the people of God would wish well to those who are asking for grace. They would pray for them. They may not be able to give them grace, but they can pray. They can say a word or two even of exhortation. They can point them to Christ. They can quote a verse or two. They can say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the time has come for the door to shut. Yes. And while they go away, they don't go straight in. They need lamps. They don't go straight in, but there's a danger of trying to press things too far. It's what it points to that matters. And that's the main thrust of what I'm saying. That our opportunities come to an end. And so, it's not beyond death that we are to be crying out as the foolish virgins cried. Lord, Lord, open to us. The door is shut. It's never to be opened again. The door is open now, though. Cry out to the Lord now. Lord, Lord, draw me into thy kingdom. Lord, see the repetition of the word Lord. That we're not to be using the Lord's names with in a repetitive kind of way, which may well be irreverent. But, you see, it does show a sense of urgency now, which we can compare to being on the other side of death. Lord, Lord, take us in. Take us in. Take us into heaven. But he may say, what about the door? The door that was open. The opportunity that you had to obtain mercy. The opportunity that you had to obtain grace. The door is shut. I never knew you. I never knew you coming through the door. I never knew you coming by faith. I never knew you repenting. I never knew you with a sincere petition of the throne of grace. As a man said, and I should have referred to it already, Donald Mackenzie was his name. I never knew him. It was before my time in this town. And he was saying that the Lord couldn't say to him that he never knew him. He had been so often at the throne of grace with his requests. Yes, he had entered in through the door. He had done so while the door was open. He had done so when he had this opportunity. Yes, oh may we, as sinners, come in through that door while the opportunity lasts. Let me read them. The verses in Proverbs chapter 1, some of the verses towards the end. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. They didn't want it. They didn't want his counsel. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now the Lord laughing, the Lord mocking. We're not to read into it all that would be true in connection with human laughter. But it means that he's going to leave them to the just punishment of their sins because they didn't come while the door was open. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's all describing in very vivid language what happens when the door is shut. Let me emphasize, the door is still open. Christ is still calling us to come. His invitation can be expressed in these words. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye can buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. But remember these words also. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, may we realize the opportunity that is ours, that the door of salvation is still open. May we not presume that it will be open tomorrow, that it will be open at any time in the future, but may we make use of it now. May we get grace to make use of it now. May we be asking for grace. May we ask for earnestness if we're not earnest. May we ask for a sense of urgency if we have no sense of urgency or very little. Have mercy on us, Lord. Do us good. Encourage thy people and draw those who are not thy people, and help thy people to be praying for those who have no concern for their souls, who do not appreciate the opportunity that is theirs, and who neglect the open door of salvation. Have mercy, Lord. Bless thy word. Grant to give power with thy word. Do not leave us to ourselves, but may we be in earnest. Make us thankful for our opportunities. May we make good use of us. May we make good use of them. Bless thy word wherever it goes forth. Bless the communion season, and grant thy favor and blessing now and always. Pardon our sin, give us grace, open our eyes, make us wise. For Jesus' sake, amen.